sometimes I forget. Perfection is nonsense. It's just the way it is. Life gets rough around the edges. Peace is just a perspective shift away. And Rebecca, Emily, and Kate are here to help. This is Mom struggling well. Cause we're all in this together. Yeah, we're just moms struggling well.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast, the podcast that helps you live your actual life so that you don't need to run away from home. We believe that perfection is nonsense and peace is a perspective shift away.
Today on this episode, we're going to frank it up for an entire hour, which basically means we're going to talk. If you're not, if you have no idea what frank it up means, I don't blame you. It means we're going to talk about our faith and things that God's teaching us and how we're doing in our faith and all sorts of things that make all of us uncomfortable.
Yeah, I was going to say make Katie cry. That's typically what happens.
I wasn't going to call you out. I made it for all of us.
Oh, that's nice of you.
I was like, I'm not uncomfortable. Okay. That's fine.
It's just me. All right. I want to thank these ladies for joining us over on Patreon since our last episode. Before we begin, here we go. Amy Prescott, Beth Thompson, Cassie Goldsberry, Erica Linares, Erin Courtney Morris, Lauren Doncorvet, Lindsay Kennan, Lisa Woods, Lindsay Nightingale, Nicole Hamilton, Samantha Shanks, and Sandra Leva. Thank you, ladies, for being here with us.
I love that Yulia comes out when you don't know how to say something.
Well, Doncorvet, that's something.
That's definitely something.
Her name's like not it. Laurel Doncorvet. Like, it's not like that.
I think it probably is.
No, it's got more character than that. I may have assigned the wrong character.
But you gave it character.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wouldn't it be nice to have the last name Nightingale?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that so beautiful?
Yeah, she sounds sweet.
I feel like that's too nice of a last name for me. You know, like, I have a friend and her last name is Sprinkle. And I was like, that's so cute, but mine should be like Fang or something, I feel like.
That's hilarious. Could I be a Sprinkle? Probably not. I'm too, like, sprinkle with a aftertaste, I think.
Oh, no. Like a fake sugar aftertaste?
Like aspartame sprinkle?
No, like a pop rock. Like a...
Oh.
Like it looks sweet, but she's got some...
Sassafras.
Yeah. Maybe that'll be my last name. My mom would probably agree. Rebecca Sassafras.
I think Sprinkle would work for you, Rebecca.
You do?
Mm-hmm. You could be Sprinkle. I'll be Fang.
I'll go back to Finkel. I loved it.
That's our maiden name, Finkel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of good jokes. It inspired creativity in kids in high school.
Yeah, and I think as a kid, I didn't appreciate that. I would have loved to have been Thomas as a kid.
Yeah.
And not Finkel, because Finkel was rough.
I get that. Mm-hmm. It's better as an adult. I can handle it now. Now that I'm Kate, I could be a Finkel.
Sure. Well, I think when Ace Ventura came out and the main character was named Ray Finkel. I don't know. And that's our dad's name. I don't know. I just felt like it was a little...
It was too personal.
It was a lot. So I got to process that a little bit later on my own time.
All right.
So I'm going to have a hall pass on this. And I'm here to produce and just make sure you guys are doing your best work. No, just kidding.
You're just going to be in the bathroom on a hall pass. Okay. So, all right, this is what I've been kind of chewing on, mulling over. I don't like saying chewing on.
It's very fall of you to say that you're mulling something over.
I'm mulling spice it. I'm pumpkin spicing about this.
Okay.
So we're reading in John at church, and we're in John 9, and there's a guy, and he was blind, and he was blind his whole life. And all of a sudden, Jesus, which I think is so funny because he could have done it anyway, he spit on some dirt, made it into like a paste. Like, how gross. And then he put it on the guy's eye. And I think the guy would probably like abduct if he could have seen him coming with some spit mud, but he couldn't see yet. So anyway, landed on the eyes and sure enough, he could see. Well, then the Pharisees are like, who sinned? Are you blind because of your parents or are you blind because of you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, somebody must have done something bad. And somebody said it. Jesus probably said, no, that's not what happened. Anyway, I can't remember all that. I read it this morning. It was like 4:30 in the morning. So I was still partially blind from sleeping. Anyway, so he could see. And what I took away from it is, first of all, his parents, the Pharisees asked the parents, well, who made this guy be able to see, your son? And they were like, well, he's old enough to answer for himself. Because they were afraid of him. That's so such a jerk move to throw your kid under the bus because you're afraid of the church people. But that's what they did. That's fine. I'm sure Jesus forgave them in the corner later. We didn't hear about that part, but that was a jerk parenting move. Well, anyway, what I love is that the Pharisees asked the man, who did this to you? And he's like, you know what? I don't know who that guy was, but I know what he did. And they're like, well, you know, basically, are you saying he's God? Because then you're going to get thrown out of the church. And all he could say was like, I don't have all the answers, but I know. I was blind and now I can see. Mm-hmm. I know what he did for me. And I think that's just really important for us to go, I don't have all the answers, but I can speak from what God has personally done in my life.
Yeah. That's so really good.
I thought that was cool. And then the Pharisees, I learned one other thing that I wanted to remember is that the Pharisees told him, I'm sorry, you are so, basically like you're a terrible person and you're trying to teach us. So they kicked him out of the synagogue because he had the audacity to teach them who were so amazing. So I don't know, just the nastiness of pride.
Yeah.
And how like they were dead wrong, but they were so proud of themselves. It was just a good reminder of how gross that is.
Who are the Pharisees?
They're like the church leaders of the time. They're the Jewish leaders. They're like the important church people.
Okay.
But Jesus was coming around and saying, no, this is actually the truth. And so they were really mad at him.
Okay.
And mad at anybody who believed him. But he was doing all this stuff that kind of couldn't be argued against. Because like the guy's muddy, but he's also able to see now. So they had a lot of authority. So that's why people were afraid of him. But they were also super nasty.
Okay.
This is also around the time in John where Jesus could really use a public relations manager. He could use a handler because he's talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, this is so uncomfortable. But then he also tells the Pharisees, your dad is the devil. And I was like, oh man, I wish we could edit that out. But then they do stuff like this and you're like, their dad is the devil. Yeah. That's so rude. Anyway, a lot going on in John. It's so fun.
I like how you bring that to life in your retelling.
Oh, thanks.
Me too. I was just thinking while you were talking, I was like, I really do so much better when someone just tells me the stories. And I was like, I think that's what church is. I need to go back to church.
All kind of lights are going on for you.
Well, that was a good transition to what I was going to share, because I've had quite a few people ask me to share why we started going back to church. We started going back to the church that we started going to before the pandemic shut everything down. So,
yeah,
because you had just recently started.
Yeah,
right?
We started going in January. Like we found this church finally that we really liked, went for 2 straight months, and then March 2020 and everything shut down. And we were hit or miss on Zoom church. That was not ideal. I would try to listen in, but more often than not, we just didn't. So we decided they opened up a few months ago, and we decided that once school started, we would start back the routine of going to church. And one of my biggest reasons for wanting to go, maybe I've said this here already, but I feel like part of my job as a parent who's raising kids to love God, who doesn't really know how to teach them to do that, is to just provide experiences for them where they can encounter God and they can experience Him. And I feel like church is just one of those places where you have the opportunity to experience God. Like I can think of multiple times, more towards like high school, I'd say, where like I'd hear a message at church or in youth group and I'd be like, whoa, like that's like for me, that was for my life. And things as adults, obviously too, but I'm trying to think way back to when I first experienced God, and it would be at like church camp. So we sent Jonah to like a Spring Hill Christian camp this summer. With just with the hopes that A, he would have fun, but B, like it's just an opportunity to encounter God. So that was kind of our main reason for wanting to go back. And I think it was the Sunday after Labor Day was the day we decided we were going to go back. And then night before that was when our minivan got hit by that drunk driver and was not drivable. And our whole family doesn't fit in our other car. So we had to like move mountains to figure out how to get ourselves to church that Sunday. And the message at church was about community and how hard it is to have community, especially now when, gosh, I feel like Christians are in a civil war of sorts. You know, like we're fighting against each other more than we're fighting against evil and good. Mm-hmm. We're like, you're an evangelical Trump supporter. You don't wear your mask. You're not getting vaccinated. You are getting vaccinated. Why are you wearing your, you know, like it's just ridiculous. So the message was good because it was like, you're supposed to be in community. Church is one way you can have community. Maybe not the only, but it's an easy way. And I was really convicted about how I internally judge other Christians. And even through like my deconstruction or whatever you want to call it, where I'm like, oh, I do not want to be associated with this type of Christian, and like pushing myself away. That's pride, and that's not helping us move forward in love towards each other. You know, like I tried to put this to words in an Instagram post, and I got a little bit of pushback about like, well, what about the Christians who are like outright hating people? I feel like I'm getting into some dangerous water here.
I think I get what you're saying. You're saying that everybody needs to be loved, even the absolute worst of the worst people. Is that where you're getting at?
Yeah. But people who say they love God are children of God, whether they are vaccinated or not, people. Like, whether they... Do you know what I mean? Like, the Holy Spirit can guide each of us in different directions. Like, Christians vote for different people. Every single time there's a new president that is up for election. And that doesn't mean like this person was misguided and this person wasn't. The Holy Spirit guides each of us individually. I don't know, I'm processing. But I was convicted about my internal, oh, I don't want to be associated with this type of Christian. When really they're my brother and sister in Christ. And I should be looking for ways to be unified.
Yeah.
Not separating. You're this type of Christian and I'm this type of Christian. Like, we're all children of God. Let's just like get over it and be okay with someone else having different interpretations of things, because we trust that the Holy Spirit is working in their life. Like, if they're children of God, they have the Holy Spirit. And unless they're like intentionally trying to ignore them, I feel like the Holy Spirit can tell us different things.
So on the show, we love to talk about struggling well, right? One of the most downloaded episodes is one where the title is simply Mom Anger. So that tells me that I'm not the only one in the world who gets angry. We also love talking about how we address our own mental health issues and how it starts with us, right? Taking care of our mom brains is very important. The Mama Zen app can be very helpful, and you can use it before you lose it. Do you get it? Love it. And I've actually avoided some nasty feelings and impatience when I've used it. If you're experiencing any of these things, anger, anxiety, if you're a yeller, you gotta download the Mama Zen app. Mama Zen will teach you how to deal with your kids' difficult behavior with a little more love and patience. After you download it, Mama Zen's gonna create a personalized program that fits your motherhood journey. It's easy to use. You just pop in your headphones, close your eyes, and listen. You're probably wondering, how does it work though? And is it actually gonna work for me? Well, you don't need to use it daily to get results. Just once or twice a week will help you struggle well. They have Mind Power sessions that are super short, just 2 to 18 minutes long. Mama Zen also has super short emergency sessions for when you are hiding in the closet because you simply cannot any longer. Kids are going to be wild. Stressful situations are going to come up. This is just a good resource to have in your back pocket. I really want you to try Mama Zen, and let's all just see how much better we can feel as moms. Go to your App Store or Google Play and download Mama Zen today. That's MAMAZEN. Right now, you can use promo code MS. That code will unlock your free trial so you can try Mama Zen for yourself. Mama, your mental and emotional well-being is the most important thing for you, your kids, and your family. Don't postpone it any longer.
I think there's a place for convictions where people's convictions can fall in different places. I think it gets a little tricky because there are some things that it seems like the Bible's really clear about. Mm-hmm. But I do agree that you can vote for different things because different people have different convictions that are stronger about one aspect and less strong about a different aspect. I don't know. I think that if we were all the same, there'd be a lot less sharpening going on.
Hmm.
and smoothing out of our rough edges. And so there's a lot to be learned from people who really rub us the wrong way.
Yeah.
Just yesterday, I was doing a procedure on a patient who drives me bananas. This is not my favorite person. Not even a little bit. And I was very up in their business doing a procedure. And I think because they're so unnecessarily dramatic that I'm like, get over it. As I walked in the room to do this procedure, I was like, Lord, you love this person and you made them and you just think they're the neatest. Please help me think they're the neatest because I don't. And we ended up having a great time and I just focused on trying to, because this person was nervous about the procedure and so just trying to build them up and encourage them that they're a lot stronger than they think and they can do hard things, and then just encouraging them that they did so well, which all they had to do was sit there, but whatever. I think we could all use some conversations with God going, you just think they're great. Mm-hmm. Help me see how great they are, because I am missing it mm-hmm. real bad right now. We can do that with our own kids too. Oh my gosh. And we have to remember people are doing that with us because we are annoying sometimes.
Yeah, that's good. If anyone is interested in this podcast, The Holy Post is one of my favorite podcasts to listen to. And they just had a post called Buckets of Evangelicals. And it was really well done. And it was talking about how, because I think I've been I don't want to call myself an evangelical anymore because I feel like that word then says this is who you are, mm-hmm. where I feel like I don't associate with that. But it was just really like, there's a change going on in the church. I think that's like obvious to everyone. And this person who was on was like, I'm seeing three different buckets of evangelicals right now.
Okay.
And it was eye-opening. And it was just like, yeah, we don't all have to fit in the same bucket. You know, like, but we can all still encourage one another. And there's a lot of things we have in common and like the essentials that we love God and Jesus and
the essentials. Yeah. I like that. I would be interested. I'm always interested to learn about the different categories that people are put into because I feel that worries me very much. I don't like those labels. It feels nasty because it is so judgy.
Yeah. And it's important to acknowledge your own areas where you're judgmental because like growing up in a denomination, I feel much more comfortable just being non-denominational, which so for me, evangelical feels great because it's not Lutheran, which I was and didn't have a great experience. But there's something mm-hmm. so beautiful about the traditional liturgy and all those things about that, that I only now recently can come back and go, gosh, that's like, it's holy. And it's like focuses you. And I don't know, there's something really sacred about those things. And so, yeah, we've got to just acknowledge where our biases are in.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, realize that we have them.
Yeah, and the beautiful things about each bucket.
Yeah. One of my favorite things, and we talk about this a lot at church, but we also talk about it a lot at home because it's so applicable, is that you need to draw a circle and fix what's inside the circle. Draw a circle around yourself, fix what's inside the circle. Because it's very hard to then argue with how terrible other Christians are if you're looking at your own circle. It's a mess in there. Mm-hmm. Like I've literally actually had my kids go outside and all of us draw a circle and stand in it just to give a visual picture with chalk on the ground. You a mess. Fix that. Because you're always pointing, but that's her circle. Look at your circle. Mm-hmm. Fix that circle. We could all do with that a lot more.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Have we done it?
I'm just happy to be here.
Okay. Katie, now you say something deep. Just kidding.
Always aspirations with me, right? Like I've got nothing going on at the moment. Not going to church, not doing any sort of studying.
Well, you did just move to a new place.
Right.
Yeah.
I know, but there's always an excuse, right? Okay. And so I don't like that. What I will pop on occasionally is the Bible Recap podcast. I'm sure everybody knows about it.
Yes.
But man, does she do a great job. She's not annoying. She does such a good job of explaining things. It's short. She's smart. She's not funny, particularly.
Oh, okay.
And I find that to be a turnoff in listening to anybody. If you're not witty, I need more wit. But she is. She's witty. She's not funny.
Oh, I didn't know there was a difference.
Well, she's very bright. There's a lot going on up there.
Okay.
Anyway, I like it, and I think that I'm going to follow it from the beginning. Right now, I'm just popping in wherever it's at. Yeah. And this is like her fifth time through the Bible. I am not doing a good job. I don't have a nightstand. Nightstand is a great place for like a journal and a Bible, which is where I normally have them. I don't have one of those right now. Looking through the reviews of that podcast and how are people using that podcast, people are listening to it like audibly in the morning. I could do that. Mm. I can go listen to it and then listen to her recap it. I think I would like to start doing that.
I love that.
Do it while you do your makeup or something.
Yes, that's what I've been doing. I listen to it when I'm in the shower.
And I don't know if you know, Katie, you might like this. What's it called? The Bible Project? You know about that?
I have it on my phone, but I don't think I've listened to it. Tell me about
it. It's visual. They draw out. They tell you like the overview of the Bible, each book of the Bible. So like if the Bible recap, I'm assuming it does it by books.
It does it by, it takes you through a year of it.
Okay. So when you're starting a new book, you could look at the Bible Project. I think that's what it's called.
It's not a podcast?
They have one. They're very intellectual. It's almost like you're taking like a class in the seminary. For me, it's like, it's a lot. I'm not going to sit and listen to that much. That's just a lot for me. They're very smart. I think they're great. But they have videos overviewing a book of the Bible. And it's drawn out. As they tell it, they draw it and kind of give you the map.
I love that.
So that's a really cool way to go, okay, this is what happens. This is kind of the order. Because sometimes when you're in the weeds of it, you don't see like the form or the flow or the kind of the overarching point. Yeah,
you need to zoom out.
That's a good way to start a book. I like that.
Thank you. If you could see and taste this bacon from oinkbox.com, you would order it right now. But for now, I'm seeing it and tasting it, and it's delicious, and I'm telling you, you gotta get to oinkbox.com. Moink delivers grass-fed and grass-finished beef and lamb, pasteurized pork and chicken, and wild-caught Alaskan salmon direct to your door, helping family farms become financially independent outside of big agriculture. Their animals are raised outdoors, their fish swim in the wild ocean, and Moink meat is free of antibiotics, hormones, sugar, and all the other junk you find pre-packaged in the meat aisle. Sign up at moinkbox.com/MSW to get a year of bacon for free and then pick what meat you want delivered with your first box. Change what you get each month and cancel anytime. I love this idea because I know for me in my house, most every night we eat some sort of protein. The steak in my box was bomb and I couldn't believe the beautiful variety of other meats that were in my box. Also came with a gorgeous magazine that had some recipes in it. I loved it. Moink was founded by an 8th generation farmer who was featured on Shark Tank. Host Kevin O'Leary said is the best bacon he's ever tasted, and I agree. And Jamie Siminoff, creator of the Ring video doorbell, invested in Moink. They guarantee you'll say, "Oink oink, I'm just so happy I got Moinked." And that's something we love to say around here. Join the Moink movement today. Go to moinkbox.com/MSW right now, and listeners to the show get free bacon for a year. That's 1 year of the best bacon you'll ever taste, but for a limited time. Spell M-O-I-N-K box.com/MSW. That's moinkbox.com/MSW.
Another Instagrammer that I've really enjoyed following is Meredith Ann Miller. Her little bio thing says, "You don't need a seminary degree to talk with your kids about Jesus."
Mm.
But it can be nice to have a friend with one. So I think she must have a seminary degree. But she takes Bible stories. I think she and her kids have a podcast too. I don't know how active it is, but they retell Bible stories for kids. And one of her biggest things is like, don't say, what's the moral of this story? Or, you know, like she's really like changed where I grew up. Like, what's the moral of this story? She just gives different ways to have kids be able to apply the story to their life or see God in the story.
Instead of like testing reading comprehension in a dry way.
Yeah, kind of.
Or it being like a right or wrong answer.
Yeah, yeah. One of her posts says, "If you reduce a Bible story to a moral, you are likely to miss its meaning." And then she goes in to explain what that means. But it's all based towards kids, but I'm actually getting a lot out of it myself.
That's my style.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it.
She has like a guide to the Bible by age for like preschool and then 5 to 8, 9 to 12. So it's really cool. I like her. Oh, okay. So Corbin has a big question about the Bible that he has been stuck on for weeks. And it is a good one. So I'm going to bring it up here. He is very, very upset that God only gave Adam and Eve one chance. They messed up one time and the world was changed forever. And he feels like that was unfair and unkind. And I'd never thought about that before, but he kind of has a point.
Yeah, he does. All right, Corbin. In my, the back of my Bible, I had the same exact question.
Did you? I love it.
Yes.
He's saying, is God good? He didn't even like give them another chance. Because, you know, as parents, we give our kids chance after chance. And then there's like all the things. And I was like, I don't know, buddy. I like to believe that God is good. And then he said, yeah, me too. But I'm like, I don't know how to answer this because that is such a good point that I've never thought about before.
I mean, because I never thought of it that way. I have to think about that. I mean, I do believe that God is good.
Yes. Yeah.
I think what that shows is that in your parenting, you've taught them that there is grace and you do get a do-over.
And God does too. But he
certainly.
But it's trickier because like they never got to go back to the garden. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't know how to explain that, except that like sometimes you'll do something and you can be forgiven and you can start over, but there's still a consequence you might have to live with. All I can think of is getting pregnant.
Like, well, or like murder, you know what I mean? You can't be like, my bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, here's the deal, though. They were out, but they weren't out of relationship with him.
Right.
But everything did change. So if, like, my best friend decided to have an affair with my husband, I don't think I'd give them all a second chance to have everything just back to how it was.
Yeah.
So I think, the idea of natural consequences. That's a good question.
Yeah, I know. Neil had a really good answer. Neil has just really a different perspective on things than I do. I couldn't even recap it for you, but maybe I'll have him record a little voice memo or something of his answer to that.
Oh, I like that. A perspective.
A perspective. Yeah, a perspective on why.
I think that's really good too, because he's a faithful listener of the show. And there's like a couple guys, I think him and our brother.
Mm-hmm. A literal couple of guys.
Literal couple. Maybe they should have a mom struggling while men retreat.
That'd be just fun. Our brother wears the hat and everything. Like, even just like in real life, like he wears it. He's the best.
Oh, this says mom struggling.
No, the hat just does struggle well.
Oh, I was like, that's okay. Right. Okay. Like, that really is a statement.
But it's in cursive and stuff. Like, it's sweet. So I don't know what was happening in Numbers 27 through 11, but God played Moses for messing up once, underlined once, and I was pissed about it. So it's in the back of my mind. I relate, Corbin. It's not cool. But I love that, Emily, that you're not missing out on relationships. You lost that privilege, but the relationship is still there.
Something changed.
All right. Thoroughly have sweat through my pit liquor. Can we talk about something else?
Do you want to go to Giving Me Life, Killing Me Softly?
Yes. Giving me life, killing me softly. The thing that's killing me softly is... I have a hard time. I feel all I want to do is be like super duper honest, but you can't be super duper honest when it's about people in your life and it's not nice to talk behind people's backs. Do you guys ever have that on the podcast?
Is it like Brandon or something?
Yeah, like you can't talk about the real issues. I need my counselor back. I need to talk to my counselor. Okay, so what's killing me softly is Smokehouse Almonds. I have no control over my time with Smokehouse Almonds, and that's about all I can talk about on the podcast today. That's as deep as I can go.
Okay.
Are they they're actual almonds? What's the Smokehouse? Are they flavored? Are they cinnamon sugar?
No, the flavor, it's called Smokehouse, but it's the ones that are like super duper salty and very highly flavored.
Those are delicious.
I like them too much. I just want to eat them for infinity.
Yeah. Have you had those?
I'm that way about the wasabi ones.
The pistachios that are like honey roasted pistachio. There's like honey and sugar, like honey mustard type powder on them. Or then there's like sriracha ones. So good.
That sounds so good. I love honey mustard.
Mm-hmm.
In powdered form. I don't like it as a dipping sauce.
Oh, I do. Yeah. At Chick-fil-A.
Chick-fil-A sauce?
No, honey mustard with the Chick-fil-A fries.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. That really feels like you're missing the boat without the Chick-fil-A sauce.
I feel the same way.
We all have different preferences and leadings from the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads me to honey mustard. So
my bucket is really filled with Chick-fil-A sauce.
Yeah, me too. Okay, Killing Me Softly is, so in Texas, I don't know if it's all of Texas, but where I live in Dallas, the soil is like clay. And so everybody has foundation problems in their house. And if you, when people come and they're like, oh, I don't want a house that has foundation problems, you're going to have to like live in a hammock because there's not, we all have foundation problems. And so periodically, depending on the time of year, the doors don't always open and shut quite right.
Okay.
Well, this year has been a special year because two new doors have started to not shut all the way. It's our bedroom door, which is unfortunate at certain moments because the dog can prance right in.
Yeah.
So we have to like put a plant in front of the door. Oh, it's the whole thing. But then another one is the guest bathroom door doesn't shut all the way, which is like embarrassing to have people over and be like, oh, don't worry about it. We'll try not to listen. You try not to be shy. Thankfully, the people, the very large amount of people who come in and out of our house, they're comfortable enough to probably. It just feels embarrassing. Like these are two of the worst doors to not be able to shut. And this year only, it's a 2021 special. They don't shut. So it's kind of killing me softly. But pretty soon the weather's going to change and then they'll shut again because it's ridiculous.
Yeah. We have, so our bathroom that guests use is downstairs, and it's no fault of our foundation. It's just a human, it's my laziness. We don't have a lock on that door, or we've had multiple locks, but they keep breaking because it's such an old door. It's like a 100-year-old door. So the actual lock on the handle is a key. And so we've put on the inside like those hook and eye locks. So people, or the little slidey one that goes like behind a stick. I'm really doing a great job. But all of those like in a barn
like in a
door.
Bathroom, like a best bath.
Oh, yeah.
Like a bathroom
at Target or something.
The Target or something. Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny. We think about being in public and we think of being at Target. Yes,
exactly. They've all fallen off the doors. And so at one point we just didn't have a replacement. And so we would be like, okay, well, when you get in the bathroom, just open the drawer to the vanity, which is right next to the door. Like open the drawer so that no one can come in because it'll hit the drawer of the vanity. So it was very embarrassing and hard to explain to people how to stay safe in our bathroom.
Oh, you would tell that to your guests.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
That was the only option to keep the door shut. I mean, we don't have as many guests as you do, so that's probably why it took forever to actually get a lock back on there. But
that might be why you don't have as many guests.
That might be. I also am often out of toilet paper in that bathroom. So okay. I've had guests text me,
come on in, the door's open, I'm out of toilet paper.
Oh, man.
After I had Owen, I noticed my hair started shedding. It was concerning how much I was losing, especially because my hair was super duper long and I used to dye it dark brown because I was edgy before I had kids. And Big Boy would see it in the shower and be like, do we need to be worried about what's happening in there? So after pregnancy, your body is still shifting, recalibrating, and doing things that don't feel normal. One of the alarming side effects of all the hormonal changes can be excessive shedding that freaks out your husband. Hair that comes out in clumps, even when you wash it or brush it. Thankfully, Pros can help stop the shedding cycle and grow back your hair. Pros specializes in custom hair care, and now they also make custom hair supplements that are personally tailored to address your specific cause of shedding. They take into account things like hormonal changes, stress level, diet, and more, and the result is customized supplements guaranteed to help you grow thicker, longer, softer hair in record time. Made with clean, safe, and natural ingredients, Pros hair supplements are just two capsules you take daily. The first capsule strengthens and rebalances the scalp to reduce shedding. The second capsule swoops in and helps spark fuller, faster growth deep in the follicle. Better yet, Pros supplements are free from drugs, synthetic fillers, and DHT hormones. All formulas are gluten-free, dairy-free, nut-free, vegan, and cruelty-free. Doesn't that sound yummy? In fact, multiple studies show that over 90% of women are taking Pros hair supplements. They saw less shedding, more growth, and improved overall appearance in just 90 days. Try your own custom hair supplements and you'll get 15% off. Get yours at pros.com/MSW. That's PROSE.com/MSW for your free in-depth hair consultation and 15% off all custom hair supplements.
Okay, so What's Killing Me Softly is kind of a big one. Do we have time for a big one?
Go. Yes.
Okay. So Jonah got his first phone number. He's had one of our old phones that he uses similar to an iPad. Like, it just connects to Wi-Fi and he can do whatever on there that he could do on his iPad. And he wanted a number. And I was like, oh, we should get one of those Gab phones or those Penwell phones. Neil and I are having a big discussion. He feels like that's too controlling. And I'm like, that is our job as parents, is to be controlling. He's not like a 20-year-old that I'm giving him a child phone. Like, he's a child who needs like boundaries. And honestly, I trust Jonah is probably going to be my most responsible kid. He like feels convicted when he does something wrong. Like, I totally 100% trust him. But he sets the precedent for the rest of our kids. What we do for Jonah, we have to do for everyone else. And so I just am thinking about all of our children who I don't know their personalities yet. Anyways, he was like, okay, well, I'm going to save up for the new iPhone, whatever it is now, 6002.
Pro Plus Max.
Right. Yeah. So I was like, great. I have at least 4 years to figure out what we're going to do about this phone number, because it's going to take you that long to save up for it. Because we told him if he wants a number, he's going to have to pay for it. Because we will buy a family one for all the kids to use when they walk down the street. I would like to be able to text them. When they go to a birthday party, I would like to be able to get a hold of them or have them be able to get a hold of me. But he really wanted his own phone number. So I'm like, well, you got to pay for it, man. So then he realized, oh, I can just use my old phone that's sitting here and I can buy a $15 a month plan with Mint Mobile. And so it happened faster than I was prepared for. I didn't get to think through all of the ramifications of this. But first of all, he's not even using his number. He's not texting his friends. He's not calling them on the phone. He just has a number now. I don't understand it. I feel like he's wasting his money. But he's getting spam phone calls, spam text messages all freaking day long when he's at school, which he doesn't even bring his phone to school.
So you're getting those.
Yes, I'm getting them. I don't feel like I was prepared for him to have a phone as far as like mentally and like contract wise. I checked his history the other day and I'm not good at covering my tracks. And so he knew I checked his history. And so we had a big conversation, like, I get to check your history. Like, that's just part of being a child in my home. And he was okay with it, but he was just like, oh, that feels like you're invading my privacy. Just all those growing up conversations, you know, mm-hmm. I'm just not ready for it. And it feels scary. I kept telling Neil, like, I know they're going to come across pornography. I know they're like, that's unavoidable in life, but I don't need to give them more opportunities to, you know, like to stumble upon it. So we've talked about like doing Covenant Eyes, and it just feels like I handed him a loaded gun, which I basically I did, but Neil and I aren't on the same page with it, which is hard. So
yeah. Can you press pause on it and say, your dad and I are going to get on the same page, and when we are, we'll make a contract and we'll roll this out the right way.
Yeah.
Just an idea. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've had to a lot of times say, this is my first time being a parent. And so on second thought, I want to do this better
for you. That's what I was going to say, is you feel a lot of pressure with him to get it right, but you don't have to get it right the first time. You're allowed to change your mind and readjust.
Yeah. That's true.
And this isn't a life or death thing. He feels like it is. It actually isn't, though.
Right.
You know what I mean? I feel that way when I go to the mall. Like, I have to buy these things or I might die. But it's not true because my husband tells me so.
Yeah. And it's not a no, not ever. It's a readjustment.
Mm-hmm.
But parental controls are so difficult.
Oh my gosh.
I was just doing it yesterday on a computer, and my husband and I also do not agree on what is the search tool that can be beneficial when you want to look up a fact for school and what can get your eyes to never be able to unsee what you've seen. And the parental controls are so confusing. There's one for Google. There's one for Safari. There's one for Microsoft. Literally every single one does different things. They cancel out each other, and then you can't do anything.
And the kids are smarter than us anyway, until they'll get around it.
Totally.
They're all a bunch of little hackers.
They really are. I mean, what we landed on, because of that reason, A, it's so confusing, and we've had blockers before, and he can't get to, like, a website that we totally approve of, even if we add it to, like, the approved website list. It's massive, and they can figure out how to get around it anyways. So what we've decided is we have the authority to check his history whenever we want. And then I got this from you, Emily. He is not allowed to delete history. He's not allowed to delete text messages. If we notice he does either one of those things, we're going to put spy, Neil calls it spyware. I don't know what spyware we'll use.
Russian spyware.
Russian spyware.
Just kidding.
I will save the day. I've got your back.
I had Neil explain all that to him because I'm like, Jonah knows that I am more strict about this and he feels like you're on his side a bit. So I need you to present these like boundaries for it.
Yep.
It's still, it's because we don't have any parameters on it, it still feels like a bit of a loaded gun, but I'm okay with it knowing that it's not, his door isn't shut. Mm-hmm. I can check the history. If we notice holes and gaps in the history or like, oh, that looks like there was more of a conversation that's deleted, he knows, okay, then we're gonna, you know, hunker down. I don't know if that's the right way to do it, but it's the way we're doing it.
Yeah. I like the idea of a family computer.
Me too. That's what we had growing, you know, we could only afford one computer.
Yeah.
I bought Circle, that thing that's supposed to like monitor stuff. I can't get it to work.
Same.
So I'm just paying for it and don't have it circling up anything.
We had that same problem years ago. Yeah, exactly. It just, all these things to help us protect our kids are so hard to figure out. And then the kids like know exactly how to get around all of the firewalls. And you're like, well,
yeah.
That was dumb. Because then you feel like your kids are safe and they're like, Mom doesn't even know I know how to do that.
Yeah. I'm telling you what, for us, I love Pinwheel. It's worked really well for us.
We need to get Greta back. I'm obsessed with her.
I was thinking about interviewing her.
We'll have to arm wrestle for it. So Greta is, I was obsessed with her book Adventuring Together, but she has a whole thing on pornography as well.
Yeah, no, I think that's good.
Protect Young Minds is a good Instagram account to follow. I like them a lot. Oh, Protect Young Eyes. Sorry. Protect Young Eyes. And then I just found a new one yesterday called Birds 2_Bees.
Okay.
So that's another one. We're all just trying to figure this out together.
Yeah, it's intense. Yeah. Okay, so this is a weird one, but what's giving me life is, I don't know how to say it. So I know the spiritual realm is real.
Mm-hmm.
I know there is life after death. But when you have somebody that you love die, it makes you grapple with those conversations a whole new different way. Katie, do you know what I'm going to talk about?
Yes.
So I was in San Antonio this week because I was a COVID nurse for about 5 minutes. And I didn't like it. It wasn't a safe situation. And so now I'm back. Yay, that was fun. But I think that the word haunted is a little irreverent, but I feel like my mom haunted me this weekend. Because I don't want to say like visited. That's weird. Or like, I don't understand what happened, but a lot of real weird stuff happened. Some of it made me cry. I was in a really artistic, beautiful shop that reminded me of my mom a lot. And I was just thinking of her and I was missing her. And then I looked over by the cash register and there was just a really big vase full of paintbrushes, which she was an artist and she always had paintbrushes everywhere. And she'd like put her hair up with a paintbrush sometime. And so just having a, seeing that they weren't even for sale. There was not even any art around them. It was like the most random thing of paintbrushes. So I burst into tears. And the lady was probably like, oh, okay. And then I bought a lot of stuff just to make myself feel better, just because I wanted to remember the moment or whatever. And then I went to another store and I was like, oh my gosh, Mom would love this store. It was like artists from all over the world had their stuff in this one shop. And then the song came on in the store called Deo. It's from Beetlejuice. It's not from Beetlejuice, but anyway, it's at a part in Beetlejuice where they're all being possessed by, I don't know, Beetlejuice. I don't remember the plot of that movie, but they're having a dinner party and it's Moira from Schitt's Creek and just a lot of really good actors. And they're all being possessed to do this dance together, but they can't control their bodies. And so their faces are like, what's going on? But their bodies are doing this hysterical dance. And I don't know if we saw it in the theater. I don't remember what happened. But when my mom saw that, she laughed. I don't think I've ever heard her laugh that long or that hard, except the first time she saw that scene. And so because of that, ever since then, she would just sing the song, Deo, and like laugh. And you can, it was just such a very my mother song. Well, so I'm in the store thinking about my mom, and then the song comes on the radio, and it was like a weird acoustic folksy version. And I'm like, what? That is so strange. But then that happened, and I'm like, okay, mom, this is getting a little creepy. And then I walk outside of that store and I look across the street, and there is a restaurant, and our the siblings, we all would talk about how we were the favorite one and mom didn't like the other kids. And I walk outside of just hearing Deo in the store that reminded me of my mom. And I looked across the street and there's a restaurant and it says best quality daughter. And I was just like, that's so funny. So she may not like me more than Robbie, but she definitely likes me more than Katie. And that's all I ever wanted to know.
I love your use of the word haunted. And the song Deo, and like that our mom is haunting you, so jacked up, but it would make her laugh.
Yeah. So it's weird because I don't know what it all is, but it was a whole lot of things at once that were very her.
And it does. It makes you think about it differently because I would never think of it like I was visited by somebody.
Yes, that was a haunting.
But straight up, you had a really hard weekend where you had a job that did not work out, that you moved away from your family for, and then you had the guts to be like, no thank you to this. That's a hard decision to make. And then to have her be like, hey.
Dale.
You know, like,
yeah,
very lighthearted and like, hey, you're still great. You're my favorite daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, whatever it is, if it's her, if it's God, if it's her and God, I don't even know. But I had a good laugh about it and a good cry.
I love that. I love to think that that stuff happens. There's got to be like such a thin veil, you know, between heaven and here. And
yeah,
it's comforting.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It's 2021 and nobody has time for uncomfortable shoes. That's where Rothy's comes in. The number one word Rothy's customers use to describe their shoes is comfortable. And Rothy's fan favorite styles are available in tons of shapes and colors for every occasion, sustainably made with recycled materials like plastic water bottles and fully machine washable. Nothing says fall like soft, plush merino wool. And for the third year in a row, Rothy's is launching an exclusive autumn collection featuring washable merino wool styles. They're incredibly comfortable, cozy, and 100% machine washable. Plus, they come in a lot of colors, patterns, and styles. My favorite thing about my Rothy's is that there are no seams anywhere on the shoe. There's literally no break-in period. Nothing's gonna rub the wrong way because there's no seams. I get excited about how comfortable they are every time I put them on. And did you know that Rothy's has men's shoes as well? That's right. Men, women, and kids can have durable, washable, and better for the planet shoes, plus ones that are rigorously tested for a perfect fit, wash after wash. And who better to tell you about how comfortable Rothy's are than real customers? Check out their reviews online. They're incredible. To help you welcome the fall season in style, Rothy's is doing something special. That's right. They gave us the chance to share this super rare opportunity with our listeners for a limited time. Right now, you can get $20 off your first purchase of Rothy's at rothys.com/MSW. That's rothys.com/MSW. Head to rothys.com/MSW to find your new favorites today.
We got new kitties.
How many?
We got two new kitties, and they're so adorable. So,
was this planned?
Kind of. Corbin loves animals. Was heartbroken when Mojo left. Then another stray dog shows up, and we're like, no. We send that dog to the same place where Mojo is on the farm. And Corbin's like, I'm made to take care of somebody. And I was like, oh. We can do another cat is what in our, like, cats are easy. We love cats. They pee on their own. They're very low maintenance. animals as far as like pets go. They don't make a lot of noise, you know, all sorts of things. So we're like, for your birthday, we'll get you a cat to take care of since you're made for this. And so we've been kind of keeping our eyes open on like the Humane Society website for like kittens. And Neil and I decided we'll probably get it for him early because his birthday is December 30th, which is 5 days after Christmas. You know, it's just a lot. So we're like, we'll get him his present early once we find the right ones. Well, these two kitties were found and posted on the Hamtramck Facebook page. Were found in the rain, like freezing cold, and they're so tiny, like a lot like the story of Tiger coming to live with us. We found her, or the neighbor found her when she was super tiny. And so there's two of them. And I was like, Neil was at work. I text him a picture, and he's like, get them.
Aww.
And I was like, both of them? Because we weren't going to do two. And then I Google, is three cats too many? Question mark. So like, what level of like, how many cats can you have per square footage and per person in your family? But they're adorable and they play together. Like, I think cats were meant to be together, you know, like be together. I think it's smart to have two. We've never done it before, obviously, but.
What about Tiger? I'm sorry. Is Tiger gone?
No, she's around. She's an indoor outdoor cat. She prefers to spend her time outside anyways, especially in like the summers and when the weather's nice. She's not thrilled with the cats, but she's tolerating them.
Okay.
She doesn't touch them or, like, snuggle with them, which I think her motherly instincts should. Like, she should adopt these kittens as her own. But she's more just kind of like, what? You know?
She's like the teenage older sister.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So they're cute. One is black and white and one is, like, gray and white. And their names are Mittens and Patch.
Cute.
Cute. I love them so much.
I'm happy you're happy about your cats. My kids want cats and fish so bad. I'm just really worried they're going to pee on things.
Oh, cats?
Not the fish. Yeah the cats.
I don't think they will. They litter train themselves, like, right away.
Just heard people, like, horror stories where the cats are peeing on their walls and then they have to rip out drywall.
Weird.
Robbie said the cats were peeing on his burners on his stove. So every time you turn on the stove, it'd smell like cat pee.
That's terrible.
Yeah, it freaks me out.
And they were called Peaches and Cream. So those are cute named cats who were doing really uncute things.
Wow. I don't know what to tell you. Doesn't happen here.
Oh, that's good. I just worry, like, well, you can't train a cat, right? Like, I don't want a cat who loves to pee on burners. I don't want that.
Yeah.
But I do want a nice cat. And then I go to some people's houses. I'm like, man, your cat's so nice. But it's a gamble.
If you had...
Do you just have to get him as a puppy?
As a puppy.
Yes. That's the trick.
That's the trick. I think that does matter, though, to get him really young. And I know if you adopt from the Humane Society here, you have like 60 days to be like, this cat doesn't fit our family and take them back. So, and I think you would know within those 60 days.
Yeah, I think you would.
That's weird. I've never heard of that. I feel like that's the minority of cats, but
yeah.
The Strugs can weigh in.
Yeah. What's giving me life is little things around the house that are making it feel like mine, that are making me feel like a normal person. Two things. One is pressure washing. It just is bringing me life. I love pressure washing. Something about ripping that thing and starting it up, and then everything's clean afterwards. That's amazing. Love that. Second is a new Pura smell, which I thought I had a whole house smell that I loved. Puras plug into the wall. They let smelly good things out when you want them to, and then you can turn them off and not have them going when you're not at the house or when you're sleeping, because I don't need it to smell good when I'm sleeping. My favorite smell of theirs is Beach Glow. It smells so good. It's like this summer smell that's not kick you in the face. It's just a really good smell. Love it. Well, they've been out of it. So I got this other one called Son of a Gun. I had it.
I've had Beach Glow in my order for so many months and I haven't been able to get it. They've been out of it for so long.
It's back.
Oh, great.
It's back.
Just in time for winter.
You know, I don't care. Well, especially here in California, it's going to work for me. all the time. But true, this one is called Havana, and I love it because it smells like not, it smells like sunscreen, but not like the coconutty sunscreen that I love, like, you know, not beach bum sunscreen, but like just the good, clean smell of sunscreen when you first put it on, the kid sunscreen, which maybe sounds really gross, but it's a really good smell. Havana. It's nice to have the house smell like a house and to have clean sidewalks. That makes me happy.
That's great.
One of my mom's friends was pressure washing her sidewalks, and she had a leaf on her toe, and she was doing it in sandals, and she, like, just without thinking, took the pressure washer to get the leaf off her toe, and it cut straight through down to the bone.
Shut up.
I can't not think of that. Every time I pressure wash, I'm like, do not, this is danger. This is a weapon. Do not.
That is so good to know, because I was in sandals and my pressure washer was stuck on the lowest setting. I've never done it where you're really going in. You know, you can change the settings. This was more of a very hard hose down. And I did get my foot and I was like, oh, snap. That really hurts. But I didn't know it would cut through your foot.
Yeah, probably depending on what pressure, you know, high pressure it's on. It's
yikes.
It's really gross.
Wear tennis shoes.
Oh, that could have been me.
Wow.
I am going to quickly read us an iTunes review from a sweet strug. I love the title of this one. Am I friends with a podcast? I've listened for about 3 years now, and I have loved how this show has morphed and grown in new ways over these years. At each point, it's felt like it's been what I've needed to hear and parallel some of the same issues I've been processing in my own life. Thank you for being a safe space that I can go to and laugh and be reminded that we are made for joy and community, and that there is almost nothing sweeter than women who talk to each other like sisters. I always feel relaxed and lighter after listening to your show, and I love so deeply how real and raw each of you is about the realities of your life. Thanks for letting people like me feel connected to you and to a community of women doing their best in this crazy world while remembering to laugh and have fun along the way. Love that.
Aw, so good. Thank you for leaving that review. That's really encouraging to us.
Yeah. Seriously, if you want to leave us a review, look for the Share the Struggle link in the show notes, and your review might end up right here on the show. You can also join us on Patreon via the link in the show notes, hear from us more often, but more importantly, be a part of the Patreon community.
Wow. Yes.
If you want to continue the conversation, we can all be found on the gram. I'm at Kate Ordway.
I'm at Rebecca Smith Online.
And I'm at Hey Emily Thomas. So what will your strategy be to struggle well this week based on what we talked about? Maybe you look at the Bible Recap podcast. I have subscribed to it forever, but I've never actually listened to it. Maybe I will. Look in the show notes for the resources. We talked about a lot of them, if any of those caught your attention. Maybe you struggle all this week by being like Corbin and just saying, I want this really bad. I was made for it. Mm. And maybe you'll get the thing you want. Mm-hmm. Maybe you get two kittens. As long as you Google it and your square footage allows. Maybe you pressure wash your toes off.
Don't do it. Maybe you that's pressure so wash gross. So you feel better about your life and you wear tennis shoes.
That's what I meant. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm sorry. I said it wrong. If this show has helped you even a little bit, share it with somebody this week. Your recommendations do mean a lot, and it helps more people to be able to find the show and struggle well as well.
Next Monday, you're going to get to hear from us again. Yes, we will have that Patreon episode that goes live, but we will also be back here on the main show with a rebroadcast of an October problem solved from 2017. Wow, that was
old school.
That's going to be fun to listen to. I'm excited.
We should play our first one ever.
Yeah. We're doing greatest hits for the rest of the year. We're getting our interviews together to air starting in January. But until then, we're going to be playing some listener favorites. So make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss out. Bye.
Oh, bye. I didn't know we were done. 'Cause we're all in this together. Your richest mom's struggling well. And they kicked him out of church. That's my dog, saving the neighborhood.
We need to get Greta back. I'm obsessed with her.
I was thinking about interviewing her.
We'll have to arm wrestle for it.
Oh, no, okay. You can. No, you go for it. I don't want to interview anyone. Bees? Birds and bees?
Everyone's been killed.
Everyone's dead.
All right. Landing the plane.
Huh, on that note, am I saying words?
I can't.
No, me. Thanks for letting people like me feel connected to you all. Thanks for letting me hold, please. Thanks for letting people like me. It's never going to happen.
Thanks.
Thanks for letting people like me.
With a re-broad crap.
Re-broad crap.
That is not really shining the best light on it.
Okay.
Re-broad crap.